Okay, the Senate Judiciary Committee is called to order. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of myself, Senator Liesl McGuire, my Vice Chairman, Senator John Coghill, Senator Mia Costello, and Senator Bill Wilikowski. We have two bills today. The first one we're going to take up is the committee substitute for House Bill 15. And so, Representative Wilson, do you want to come forward? It sounds like the hearing went well, and there was just one matter outstanding for which we received a legal memo on. Is that your recollection?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. So is there anything further from the committee then? Senator Coghill? Oh, yes, Senator Wilson.
I just had a clarification question on page 1, line 12. The last word is an and there, and I think I talked to you about that after committee, and maybe if we can just get some, if you remember the issue, maybe if you can just clarify for the record what we discussed.
For the record, I'm Representative Tammy Wilson from District 3, Representative Wilikowski through the chair. The conversation was whether or not it would make a difference on line 12 to change and to or, so it would have been freedom of restrictions on the person's freedom of movement or behavior, and I spoke to law afterwards, and they do not like the word or. They would love to keep it at and. And I think that is, again, trying to be as consistent as we can for those who are in jail instead of using this provision.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
Does that satisfy your question, Senator Wilikowski?
It does.
Okay, anyone else on that point or any other point?
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Part of the discussion was whether or not if somebody under this monitoring broke that monitoring condition, if they would lose all the time, and my expectation would be yes. And so I think that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'd like to make a motion to move the bill because we just flat ran out of time. We were right down to the last couple minutes, but I needed to introduce the other bill to have it on the table.
And this is your representative, too.
Yes, ma'am. I want to be very nice to this.
I would assume. Okay. Senator Coghill.
I'd like to move the Senate CS for House Bill 15 Judiciary out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note, I think.
Excellent.
Zero fiscal note.
Zero. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, then the committee substitute for House Bill number 15 with individual recommendations and zero fiscal notes has passed out.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much, Representative Wilson. Okay, that next item on the agenda then is 75, House Bill 75. And we have Representative Tilton and Mr. Hilliard, if you put your names on the record. And first of all, we need a motion, if I might have one, Senator Coghill, to adopt the R version.
Okay, Madam Chair, I've moved that for the working document for the Senate is the Senate CS for House Bill number 75 Judiciary, LS0345/R version dated 414.
Excellent. Any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then we have the R version of House Bill 75 before us. Welcome to Senate Judiciary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Tilton, representing House District 12 and the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I can do just a brief
yes, please.
Reiteration of the bill.
We'd love it.
Thank you. House Bill 75 is a work product of the House Community Regional Affairs Committee and the Judiciary Committee, along with about 23 of the municipal attorneys across the state.
Great.
The attorneys and mayors across the state came to the House Community Regional Affairs Committee asking for some definition and guidance with the new initiative, Ballot Measure 2, looking to have some definition and some guidance as they're trying to adopt their ordinances locally. So the process that we use for developing House Bill 75 is a little bit of a different process. We had a placeholder bill, and then we listened to testimony from across the state from municipal attorneys and leaders of the communities, and we took all of the reoccurring themes of things that they were looking to have defined and created House Bill 75. It's things that would that are in House Bill 75 are things that are the most immediate and pressing issues that the municipalities had asked us to address as they are looking to create their local ordinances. So it doesn't open up Title 29, and we followed Title 24 in excuse me, Title 4 as we created the bill. So with that, for more specifics, Mr. Hilliard can.
Thank you.
On that.
Thank you, Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Heath Hilliard, staff to Representative Tilton and the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. If I may, Madam Chair, I need to get the copy of the R version back from your committee aide. I don't have it in front of me.
Absolutely. We'll take a brief at ease.
Thank you.
The record, Mr. Hilliard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're working from version R as you adopted, and I provided in the committee packet an explanation of changes of the differences between U.A, which was the version that passed from the House floor, to version R. What I would do is I'll go through and I'll hit the high points in terms of the policy discretion,
okay,
and then also the explanation of changes rather than working through everything, and I'll do it as expeditiously as possible.
Okay.
So one of the most significant policy aspects of HB 75, you can be found of the R version, be found on page 2, lines 21 through 23, in which the bill establishes a 24 plant household limit.
Yep.
As we know, the initiative had 6 per individual. The municipalities made it clear to us that they really needed a bright line at which point in time marijuana possession or plant growth stopped being personal and started being commercial. Going into the R version again, going to page 3, starting with line 8 through 10, and it's my understanding that there may be an amendment to this issue. It provides that the municipalities by ordinance are allowed to establish a plant limit less than 24 plants. Mm-hmm. Continuing on through that, section 6, we actually addressed an issue. One of the things that had been brought to us by the Marijuana Policy Project, the initiative sponsors, was that originally had a 10-day time frame. So they thought that they were concerned that would not allow registrations to happen within the original intent of the 90 days. So we, at least in trying to be responsive to their concerns, dropped it from 10 to 5. So it says the board has 5 days to from the receipt of an application to notify a municipality. Going through page 7, again, this attempts to make some conforming amendments to the timeline for the issuance of registrations.
Okay.
Section 8, which is on page 4, lines 6 through 12, one of the earlier versions of HB 75 had failed to address the situation in which a municipality might have enacted a numerical limit on the total number of registrations, and we put that language back in to clarify in the event that there are more applicants than there are registrations available, how the board will go about dealing with that. Most significant goes to section 20, which is on page 9, lines 7 through 8. Let me find that. And what that stipulates is that after an established village has had a local election, and if they've chosen to ban commercial marijuana establishments, it clarifies that nothing in that ban would prohibit any of the activities provided for in 1738.020, which is the personal use. So they can ban commercial establishments in an established village, but not prohibit any of the other activities in the ballot initiative. On page 10, lines 20 through 22, at the request of the court system, we provide the Supreme Court the authority to establish a new court rule with regard to scheduling bail amounts to allow people to pay their fines without a mandatory court appearance. And then most significantly as it pertains to this version of the bill, clarifies under the definition section on page 11, this is section 24 starting on line 9, that manufacturer has the meaning given in AS 1171-900, and if I could have the chairs and folders, I believe I have that definition written down for you specifically. Oh, means the production, preparation, propagation, compounding, conversion, growing, or processing of a controlled substance either directly or indirectly by extraction from substances of natural origin. However, the growing of marijuana for personal use is not manufacturing. So it clarifies that anything for personal use, the growing is not considered manufacturing.
Okay.
And so I guess with that, in the interest of time, Madam Chair, that's a quick run-through of the explanation of changes found in version R, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Hilliard. Questions from the committee? And Senator Machicki has joined us. Thank you, Senator Machicki. I know you're divided in your time. I appreciate it. Okay. Hearing and seeing none, then if you'd stand by.
Absolutely.
To the extent you can, Representative Tilton, if you can, if Mr. Hilliard can, and we'll go ahead and go to the public testimony. Bruce Schulte. And then after that will be Nancy Mead, and then I'll go to the phone. Welcome. Do you put your name on the record?
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Bruce Schulte. I'm the spokesman for the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. I'll be brief. First of all, I'd just like to say that we support this bill and appreciate all the effort that's gone into it. I wanted to speak to just a couple of things. I understand that there's an amendment potentially that would remove marijuana clubs as a type of marijuana business. And I think I understand and appreciate some of the underlying motivation for that. I just want to mention that in our discussions with different municipalities and boroughs around the state, we found that there is actually interest in having exactly this type of marijuana business for various reasons at the municipal and borough level. And so I would respectfully suggest that this be left in so that those local governments have the option. Then there may be an opportunity here in a regulatory process to bring some greater clarity to what these things are, what the operating parameters are, and we will know hopefully what those boundaries are by next November when the regulatory process is done. So before any permits are issued, you folks, the legislature will have another chance to look at those rules and maybe decide then if those parameters are suitable. But again, I'm just kind of advocating here for those communities that have specifically asked for this to be included. I think it would be it would do them right to keep it in here. And I just wanted to speak also to the briefly to the section on page 3 that would allow the municipalities to limit the number of plants. Let me just say emphatically that we support and stand by the 6 plant per person limit.
Okay.
No dispute with that, no argument.
Okay.
But I understand, having been involved with many of the discussions on this issue, I understand why law enforcement felt it necessary to have a bright line for adults, 2, 3, or 4 adults living in a single home, because it raises a legitimate question both for the individual and for law enforcement. I would like to suggest a possible way around this. If the concern were people using this as a way to get around the regs and have a small commercial grow in their home, mm-hmm. maybe they're growing 16, 18, 20 plants, for example, maybe a better strategy through the regulatory process would be to provide them an easy entry into a regulated market so that they don't have to try and play games with the regs, but rather just accept, a fairly simple point of entry, pay the excise tax, and conduct themselves as a regulated marijuana grower. I would refer to SB 62 that has a definition for a home grower.
Mm-hmm.
that's a great idea. We support that. And if it could be developed further, that may actually address this problem. Whereas, allowing the municipalities to just limit it, I think, creates some confusion around the state. So if somebody moves from one community to another that crosses the state line, some boundary, and all of a sudden what was legal in their neighbor's home is not legal in their home with regard to the number of plants for multiple adults.
Okay.
So, again, six plants per person, no dispute there, but I'm just thinking that rather than having this provision on page 3, maybe we could handle it in a more creative fashion in the regulatory process. Thanks for your time.
Questions for Mr. Schulte? Yes, Senator Wilkowski.
Did I hear you right that you said communities had specifically asked for marijuana clubs?
Yes. Which our several of our board members are working with Fairbanks with their marijuana committee, and I think we might be hearing from one or more of them over the phone. But that is something that Fairbanks is specifically looking at allowing. And I believe that it was actually put in here at their request.
Madam Chairman, so that provision having marijuana clubs is only optional. The communities would have to adopt an ordinance allowing it.
They would put boundaries on it. I mean, my expectation is that if it was allowable under state law, then the communities would additionally, probably put some boundaries on it themselves, some zoning considerations and so forth. And I think they would have some control over whether such a business got permitted. I mean, I'm sure Anchorage would. I don't doubt that Fairbanks and Juneau would as well.
Anything further?
I'm sorry, I was not following protocol.
No, that's fine. If you'd stay by when the amendments come up. Yes, Senator Machicki.
So, Mr. Schulte, one of the things I struggled with is in Alaska, you can't serve someone alcohol in a bar that's intoxicated. And I would assume that when you smoke marijuana, you're high. So what would you do after you had your initial serving in a marijuana club if you couldn't serve additional servings, whatever they may be? I mean, what is a marijuana club?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, I think it would be a private establishment that is membership only, 21 and over, because that it has to be that to meet other requirements of this initiative. And it would be a place where people could go hang out with their friends and consume marijuana. There might be some secondary purpose, a band playing, a comedy show going on, some other types of things, other types of entertainment, I guess, that would be the focus of the gathering, but it would simply be marijuana friendly. So that's how I would envision such a club. And again, I think that's something that could better be developed in regulation, because it's a fair question. I mean, we need to define more clearly what that is, but I would respectfully suggest that we not just take it off the table out of hand until there's the regulatory board has had a chance to do that.
One more question, Madam
Chair.
Yes,
Member Chickie.
So, over half of the Senate is co-sponsoring a bill that doesn't allow smoking in a place where Alaskans are employed. How do you see that working with a marijuana club?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, that's a valid point. Obviously, the two are somewhat at odds. I guess it depends to a certain extent on how that other bill evolves. If it did allow e-cigarettes, for example, there is an analogous method of consumption in the marijuana side that would be compatible. If that bill went through and it did not allow e-cigarettes, that would be problematic, and I'm not sure that that might very well preclude or exclude marijuana clubs at that point, unless they confine themselves to edibles, which is a possibility, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything further? Okay.
All right.
You can hang around, please do.
I will. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
One more, Madam
Chair.
Oh, yes,
Senator Machicki,
question.
You're not quite off the hook.
Okay.
I don't remember marijuana clubs being discussed in the initiative. Am I incorrect about that?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, you're not incorrect. It was marijuana clubs were not discussed in the initiative. This was something that was added, I believe, at the request of Fairbanks North Star Borough. It's a business model that does exist elsewhere. They've existed in Amsterdam for decades. The coffee shop, tea house sort of model. That's a variation, I think. But no, it was not mentioned in the initiative.
Okay.
Okay.
If I may, I'm sorry, I don't want to take up all your time, but there may be an opportunity, or I would envision an opportunity in the rulemaking process to define other business types that have not that are not specifically articulated in the ballot initiative, but which may become part of a legitimate, you know, industry, you know, suitably regulated and you know, with boundaries on their operations.
Senator Costello.
Thank you. Mr. Schulte, question just about the Second Amendment and these other examples that you have. I mean, would an individual have the ability to carry a firearm into a marijuana club, or how is that issue addressed elsewhere? Do you know?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, that is a really good question. I can't answer that directly. I would never encourage somebody to consume any sort of intoxicant and carry a gun. Just as a guideline, I don't know. Because there is that Second Amendment right. I don't know what kind of boundaries could be placed on a marijuana establishment. I guess I would go back to what do we do with bars and restaurants and stuff where alcohol is served? Because to be honest, I think consumption of alcohol in the presence of firearms would be a far greater concern because people's behavior changes so dramatically under the influence of alcohol. But I guess I don't really have a better answer to that.
Thank you.
Good question.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Schulte.
Thank you.
Next, we have Nancy Mead. Welcome to Senate Judiciary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System. The court system has only one interest in this bill, and I'm here to answer questions about it if there are any. On page 10, lines 20 through 22, we worked with the sponsor's office, and they were very gracious to include this language that requires the Supreme Court to put the violations on what's called the bail forfeiture schedule so people can get tickets for those and pay them online or by mail without a mandatory court appearance. That's fairly standard for a good number of minor offenses or violations in the statute. So if you had any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer it. Otherwise, that's all I had to present.
Excellent. Questions for Ms. Mead? No? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, I'm going to go online. I'll go first to Fairbanks, out of consideration for my vice chairman. Joe Hardenbrook is with the mayor's office of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. So, Joe, if you just put yourself online and offer testimony on House Bill 75, please.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator McGuire. This is Joe Hardenbrook, representing Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins. Can you hear me all right?
We can.
All right. Excellent. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee regarding House Bill 75. The comments below are from the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor's office.
Okay.
We come down on the side of including the provisions for marijuana clubs within House Bill 75. We appreciate the language, and we also appreciate the ability to regulate it at the local level. As you're all aware of Article 10 in the Alaska State Constitution, our founders envisioned a state government where there was maximum local self-government with a minimum of local government units. And we strongly feel that including this language within House Bill 75 allows for municipalities and local governments to decide whether or whether not to allow these types of consumption venues within their boundaries. Section 16 of the bill is of concern. This changes the language of the initiative with respect to registrations issued by the municipality should the state miss the deadlines as laid out in Proposition 2. Where the initiative said that a local license issued in lieu of a state license, should that occur, that license would be good for a year and would not be subject to state regulation. Now the provision says that such a registration is subject to state regulation. This appears to be directly contrary to the initiative language and to its intent. The scenario of a local business owner obtaining a license from a municipality and then the state enacting regulations a month later could make that local business subject to new regulations. And so we would ask that the Judiciary Committee consider returning House Bill 75 to match the tenets of the original initiative. Further, moving on to Section 19 in Version R, House Bill 75 makes the initiative powers non-area-wide. The Fairbanks North Star Borough would like to see these powers as area-wide, so that a city within the borough could be more restrictive than a borough, but not less restrictive with regards to commercial facilities. This mostly falls in line with the consideration of zoning authority, which is a borough power. The borough will be the entity exercising the zoning authority, which goes hand in hand with the regulation of the time, place, manner, and number of marijuana businesses as contemplated by the initiative. I'd go on to say that 60% of the voters in the Fairbanks North Star Borough voted in favor of Proposition 2, and in most of the districts across the Fairbanks North Star Borough, more of our citizens chose to vote on the Proposition 2 question than chose to vote in the election for the legislature. So the argument could be made that our folks were more sure of their stance on the marijuana issue than they were on who they would choose to represent them in the legislature. And again, 60% of our residents in the Fairbanks North Star Borough voted in favor of Proposition 2. I'm available for any questions, but that concludes my comments. Thank you very much for the opportunity to weigh in.
Thank you, Mr. Hardenbrook. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Hardenbrook? Thank you. Okay, next we're going to go to Dennis Wheeler, who is with the Municipality of Anchorage. Welcome, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Dennis Wheeler. I am the municipal attorney for the Municipality of Anchorage, speaking on behalf of and for HB 75. I want to express my appreciation for Representative Tilton and her staff, particularly Mr. Hilliard, for their hard work on this and facilitating the participation of a number of municipal attorneys who wanted to provide comment and suggestions. It was a very fruitful and collaborative process, and I think the bill in front of you is a great vehicle for giving local governments the opportunity to decide how best to manage this new industry that we're now dealing with. So the municipality is in support of the bill, and I would like to comment that on the issue of the marijuana clubs, the most important thing I think for the municipality of Anchorage is to ensure that whether they're allowed or to some degree limited, that the municipality have the opportunity to weigh in and decide whether it's going to opt in or opt out or provide its own local licensing or regulation with respect to those clubs, if those clubs remain a viable option, so that the local communities can decide whether they're going to allow them and if those clubs meet their needs in marketplace. With that, I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Any questions for Mr. Wheeler? Okay, hearing and seeing none, let's go to Amy Mead, who's the Juneau for the City and Borough of Juneau. Ms. Mead, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Amy Mead. I'm the municipal attorney for the City and Borough of Juneau. I believe you're in receipt of a letter of support for this version of the bill from the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly. I want to reiterate how important it is that the municipalities be given tools that will assist us in regulating this industry in a reasonable and effective manner, consistent with the intent of the initiative. And I believe that's what this bill offers. It will assist us, we municipalities who are tasked with regulating this new industry within our communities in a manner consistent with public health, safety, and welfare. And I do want to say that I very much appreciated the outreach from Representative Tilton and her staff, and they're including us in this process and affirmatively seeking our input as they put together this legislation. If I can be of assistance, I'll remain on the line and available for questions.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Mead. Any questions? Okay, nice to see the state and local governmental cooperation. There are two folks online that will answer questions, just so members are aware. Tracy Wallenberg with the Public Defenders Agency and Mark Mew with the Anchorage Police Department. Otherwise, there are just two more folks to testify. Tim Hintenberger with the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Mr. Hintenberger, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chairman McGuire and members of the committee. My name is Tim Hintenberger, Chair of the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. I'm calling in support of HB 75, but we do have a couple concerns and possible amendments to suggest. First, I'd like to thank, we're grateful for Representative Tilton's hard work to accommodate municipalities' requests while respecting the will of the voters, and we appreciate all of your committee's thoughtful work on marijuana policy in this session.
You're welcome.
We also would support and endorse the comments of the previous testifiers, Bruce Schulte and folks from Anchorage and Fairbanks, in support of the allowing municipalities the ability to authorize marijuana clubs locally. We think that that is something that the municipality should have the discretion to regulate. Beyond that, our two primary issues about the current committee substitute are, first, that it appears to grant municipalities unbridled discretion to set low limits on the number of marijuana plants in a household. We were discussing earlier how it sets a cap of 24 plants per household, but the current committee substitute says that municipalities may set a lower cap, but it doesn't say how low, and it's possible that the municipality could use this mechanism to, in fact, prevent individuals from growing any plants, unless the wording of the committee substitute has changed. The other main concern we have is that the current language appears to conflict with Measure 2 by allowing a potentially indefinite delay in granting or denying marijuana establishment applications if a municipality protests. The 90-day deadline for the board to review marijuana establishment applications should not be altered, but the current committee substitute allows municipalities to protest that decision without setting any timeline for when that protest would need to be addressed by the board. And finally, one other suggestion that we have concerning HB 75 really arises from the fact that SB 30, the criminal bill, appears not to be moving this session. In SB 30, there was important language that addressed penalty for marijuana possession for youth and young adults by setting it as a civil penalty rather than a criminal sanction. We would support language in this bill which would have that same effect. And so simply to save time, I would refer you to a letter that we sent to the committee chair and your staff yesterday, which outlines possible language that might address this issue, as well as the previous two points I brought up. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Hindenburger? Okay, final testifier that I have so far, Frank Bernardi with the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. Mr. Bernardi.
Hello, this is Frank Bernardi, Chairman of the Board for the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. I just wanted to call in today to testify in support of House Bill 75 and also to emphasize that we would like to see local control concerning on-site consumption for marijuana facilities. And there's a few reasons for this. We want to make sure that we can reduce public consumption, and the way to do that is to allow our citizens to have a legal option to consume marijuana without consuming in public for whatever circumstances they may have if they cannot smoke at home. We also want our tourists who come to Alaska and choose to partake in the legal marijuana industry to be able to have an outlet to be able to consume cannabis. Otherwise, they won't be able to smoke in their hotel per hotel policy. They will not be able to smoke to and from a cannabis facility or in public, as we all can't. And they also will not be able to smoke inside a facility, as well as not being able to take anything that they buy here home with them. If we want to have a really viable, unique cannabis industry that draws tourism from other states and brings dollars into the state of Alaska, an on-site consumption facility would be the way to go. We also have seen, as you've heard, our Fairbanks North Starboro support local control when it comes to on-site consumption. I think that the citizens, when they voted to regulate marijuana like alcohol, intended to regulate the retail sale of marijuana like alcohol as well. We want to see a viable and money-making marijuana industry, and this is the first step towards making that happen. Thank you very much. I can take questions now.
Okay, questions for Mr. Berardi. Yes, Senator Michicki.
I have a couple, and you know, I don't know how much things will change, but last year went to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert and didn't notice any shortage of people consuming inside of a building, but that's just my something I noticed. But the question I have is, you talked about people coming to visit not being able to take it home, and what are you saying there? Because that's simply not permitted by any laws.
Exactly. If they can't take the product home that they purchase here, and they also have no legal avenue to consume the cannabis, then there's no legal route for a tourist to take part in our legal cannabis industry. We'll see more public consumption. We may even see people trying to take it across the border into another state. I think that allowing these consumption facilities would be a good way to divert a lot of that activity.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Michicki.
That's a very interesting argument. I probably would have. So here's the way that I look at it, and I think this is an important discussion. There are people on this committee that took a lot of lumps defending the initiative. I'm one of them. It failed in my district. I supported the rights of the voters and the wishes of the voters in every instance. And it didn't mention clubs. And I think it didn't mention clubs for a reason. And I think it's because they're challenging. And I'll tell you, I'm very focused on public health, and I don't see I think it's challenging. I think it'd be difficult for them to be workable without an employee being subject to a shift of plant particulates. And to me, that just doesn't sound healthy. It's not like you can stop in for a minute. It's I would think it would be a constant exposure thing. So I think
actually this could be mitigated through a enclosed area within a building with a proper HVAC system, so that smoke isn't lingering in the smoking facility. And also, we can attach carbon filters to these exhaust ventilation systems, so that we're not projecting smell into the street. So it is possible for an employee to work in a on-site consumption facility without actually being exposed to cannabis.
Okay, anything further? Questions from Mr. Berardi? Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to testify on the committee substitute for House Bill 75? Is there anyone online? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then I will close public testimony. That brings the bill back before us to start working on amendments. We have amendment number one by Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, I'll move amendment number one.
And I'll object to just hear you talk about it.
Sure, Madam Chair. This takes the marijuana clubs out, as you've already heard testimony on it. This is one of the areas where people are going to zero in on. The two areas I saw in the bill that I struggled with were the 24 marijuana plant limit, because you can literally have quite a grow within a single dwelling. But I understand some of the rationale. But under this one, we haven't been able to pass the regulation bill. We haven't been able to pass the Senate Bill 30, as was said. We don't know how this is going to have, say, around school zones. We don't know what the breathalyzer issues are. We don't know, you know, it is true that some people could walk through it, ride a bicycle through it, but even riding a bicycle impaired is a public hazard. Walking, probably not. If they eat, that's fine, but do they get into a car and drive? How long are they impaired? There's just a whole range of questions. And with regard to the municipalities, I tend to agree that it is something that they should regulate, but we need to give them a little better direction. And the difference between Anchorage and Fairbanks, or Juneau and Fairbanks, is Anchorage and Juneau have policing powers. plus zoning powers, and the borough of Fairbanks only has zoning powers, where the two cities are the only ones that have policing powers. So there's a division within that area. The borough sees it as a zoning issue and as an income issue. I get that. I'm actually, as far as industry goes, I'm okay with that. But we have not, in my view, settled a lot of questions on the public safety question. We don't even know what the licensings are going to be looking like yet. So in my view, before we get those questions, and even the Mr. Schulte testifying today said, we should put it in and figure it out next year. I'm saying let's let this go forward and figure it out next year, because the licensing, the industry potential is going to come up. We still have questions on the tinctures, which are the little bottles of stuff. We don't know what's going to happen with vaping. We don't know what is going to happen with these highly contentious concoctions called the word just left me. We just had a big debate about it.
Concentrates?
The concentrates. Okay. We don't know what's going to happen there. And so before I'm willing to start putting clubs in, I want to know what we're talking about. So in my view, this is a little early. It's a reasonable discussion, but it's just too early yet. And so I think let's put some of these other rules in before we start allowing for boroughs to start putting rules in place, and we're going to change the whole dynamic of it next year. So I think we're just ahead of ourselves, and I would really urge support for this. And I know I'm going against my own little municipality in Fairbanks, but remember, they only have zoning powers, and the cities are the ones who are going to have to end up with this as a policing power, or the state police, not the borough assembly. So I appreciate their zeal to begin to figure out how to do it, but I think they're ahead of the game. Anyway,
okay.
That's going to be my pitch.
Thank you. And Senator Coghill, so at least in the first part, page 5, line 25, the way that I read section 10, one, it's got a may. So a municipality may prohibit the operation of, and then it lists a series of things. You're removing marijuana clubs. So I guess my question is, it would have been May anyway. What's the net effect of removing that? I don't see that your amendment is saying that they can't.
I understand that. I understand
okay.
that.
Okay, so you're just, under, you just don't want a reference to it.
At this point, I think
okay.
that we're ahead of it. I'll give you an example. We have what you can do with package stores. How close to your school can you go?
Yeah.
We have that in state statute with
right.
our alcohol
That's
laws.
Right. Okay.
We have a lot of regulations. When does a license come up? What's the duration? Those things, I think the boroughs, my borough, needs a little more direction on. I think we're way out ahead of it.
Okay. Mr. Hilliard, I understand you support the amendment. You want to come forward and talk about it? I think that's a...
Thank you again, Madam Chair. With regard to the amendment, again, there was some discussion in the House CNRA committee about this particular provision. However, in the course of hearing deliberations, particularly in this body, we recognized that we were probably a little bit premature in putting this forward. Again, we tried to maintain a very narrow focus, and there had been some suggestion, but this is in advance of the rulemaking process, and we recognize that probably at this time it's not really the best time. We still have 9 months at least worth of rulemaking process in which the regulators may come back and provide for this or give some direction either to the legislature. So, again, trying to be responsive to municipalities, but probably premature from our perspective.
Okay, and I'm inclined to support it because if I could just ask you on the record, what I see it is a middle ground. Senator Coghill is saying, I don't want it specifically mentioned as if directionally saying, look at this issue, and you may or may not. However, removing it also doesn't prohibit in a local municipality like Fairbanks, let's say they do have testimony and they do decide to adopt regulations, there's nothing in this amendment that says you can't do it.
Madam Chair, you're absolutely correct.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear where we are. We're sending a message that we think we need more time to study it. There are public safety effects, there are zoning effects, et cetera, et cetera. We're pulling it out. but we're going to let munis and the board work on this thing over the interim, and we'll come back and look at it.
Madam Chair, that's 100% correct. It returns this bill back to the original initiative language.
Okay, fair enough. Senator Machicki, then Senator Costello.
And frankly, the one municipality is the one that I hear coming out in favor of this change. I'm okay. I'm just making a statement. I bet there's a long list of municipalities uncomfortable with the change.
Right.
And it would be illegal in Anchorage because they already have a smoke-free employee environment. It would be illegal in Juneau, which already has, in fact, half the state is under that reg right now. We're trying to protect the other half. So. What the time will give us is if they come out with an outdoor solution where there's a privacy fence around where folks step outside.
But
pretty firm on supporting the verbatim of the initiative,
okay.
But it's a little bit outside that, I think.
Okay. Senator Costello?
Thank you. And my question is, it's written in the affirmative, so you, municipality may prohibit, and then it provides a list. So my question is, if something's not on the list, is it inherently then saying that you may not prohibit something that's not on the list? I mean, I'm wondering if the discussion here is actually what's in the amendment.
Through the chair, Representative.
I think this goes back to Senator McGuire's initial question, too.
Through the chair, Senator Costello, in dealing with Ledge Legal, the bottom line is what they instructed us was, because there's no express prohibition, the effect of this amendment and the effect of the amendment to put it in was, we're simply saying, we originally simply said they may have marijuana clubs, and marijuana club is now a part of an establishment. You may or may not have them. In dealing with both Legislative Legal and the lawyers for the Marijuana Policy Project, simply removing it returns it back to the ballot initiative language, which remains just completely silent on it. It was not something that was proposed or considered by the ballot measure. So my understanding in dealing with those attorneys is that we just remain silent until the regulators decided whether or not there were additional licenses that needed to be included.
Yes, Senator Costello.
So have you contemplated the fact that someone might apply for a marijuana club and how that would be responded to then?
And through the chair again, Senator Costello, in speaking to Senator Coghill's amendment and acknowledging that we were perhaps premature, someone couldn't apply for a registration for any type of commercial establishment if it doesn't exist in statute or regulation. So, if the regulation writing process does not provide for that, then they couldn't apply for one.
Okay, thank you.
Why don't I maintain my objection, since we're at this point where we're still thinking? And on amendment number one, let's go ahead as we discuss. We have caucus right now, so we'll recess to the call of the chair. Before you came in, Senator Machicki, we were discussing what time we would meet tomorrow, and for those listening online. And what we decided is that we would go ahead and go on the floor. There'll be recesses to accommodate committees, finance, and others. And we'll go ahead and find one of those slots tomorrow that we can accommodate the members and come back and move the bill, adopt the amendment, and move the bill out. Okay? Just debate the amendments, see how the votes go, and then move out.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. So with that, we're going to go ahead and recess to the call of the chair. Is there anything else from members before I recess? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll recess to the call of the chair.